We're going to talk now, though, about religious education in our schools. In Catholic schools, religious education delivered through the Catholic faith, giving students the grounds in which to engage in dialogue and encounter with other beliefs and worldviews. Campaigners from a secular perspective have been arguing that it would be better to have no religious education at all, or make it objective and make religious education as part of the home and led by the parents or led by the local parish. There's a new primary curriculum framework that is being developed, of course, and has been developed to look at all these areas, but the issue is one that many of you have contacted us on the programme about. With me on the programme to talk about this now is Alan Hayes-Senyek, who's Chief Executive of the Catholic Education Partnership, who've been involved in the debate on this one. Alan, good morning to you and thanks for joining us on the programme.
Good morning, Jerry. How are you? You did well on my surname there.
Thanks very much. Most times I get things like that wrong, but every once in a while I get it right. So thanks for that. Alan, look, how is religious education changing in our schools, first of all? And do you have concerns about, I suppose, the argument on either side as to where religious education needs to take place for faith formation for our young children?
Well, I think, the primary curriculum framework has already been finalised by the National Curricular Council and issued to schools. And in it, the patrons programme, which in a Catholic school would be our religious education programme, is a fully integrated part of the curriculum. So in a sense, that side of things is settled. I think what we're seeing with some campaigners on religious education in schools is perhaps a frustration on the divestment side, that I suppose there was an expectation that this would be, there'd be more schools divest into new patronage and so on and so forth. And even though, the Catholic bishops have clearly supported divestment where communities want it, it has just been very difficult to get local communities to support schools changing out of Catholic patronage. I think what we're seeing now, Jerry, though, is some campaigners have in effect maybe given up on divestment, and now they're just saying, well, if we can't get them out of, if we can't get communities to agree for their schools to cease to be Catholic schools, what we're going to start doing is effectively undermining the ability of those schools to be Catholic. And I just think it's an attempt in a sense to solve a problem from above by imposing something where communities have, quite literally often voted against it at community level. So I think, for a Catholic school to be an authentic Catholic school, it teaches a full programme. The Catholic approach to education has always been holistic. And as part of that holistic education, which, yes, involves physical, intellectual, moral and so on, it also includes a spiritual and religious dimension, because for us, that's the entirety of the person. So that's why we would see ORE has just been very much part of an integrated education for any young person, while respecting the right of parents to opt out.
In Catholic schools at the moment, as part of that new curriculum, are they having to develop ways of teaching the other religions and belief systems?
Yeah, we quite welcome the NCCA, or the Curricular Authority. They have taken the word religions aspect, and it's now part of the history and geography curriculum. So as part of that, we are quite happy to see, let's say, the time was reduced for religious education from 2.5 hours to 2 hours per week. And effectively, that half an hour is now part of history and geography. So in that, there will be a focus on teaching about other worldviews and other religions. And we've always done this, but what we're doing now is just we're broadening out the curricular offering we had on that subject. And we're moving it from, let's say, our regular ORE programme and just moving it into that world religions and belief section of the history and geography programme. But we will be expanding on that and then seeking to obviously support our schools for it.
And that's part... go on, Alan.
Oh, no. I just mean, it is a very important part. I mean, our schools, ideally, all young people should be able to, engage in dialogue with people who have different worldviews and things from them. And we see that has been very much part of the Catholic tradition, where there is an open and honest and respectful dialogue with other faiths and with other worldviews. And it's certainly something we encourage with our young people at primary and post-primary to do.
And do you have real fears then that religious education is being hollowed out in areas even when parents are happy or the divestment has failed, let's say, the idea of that, divesting schools from Catholic patronage has failed?
Well, I wouldn't say, it depends what you mean by failure or success.
I'm not saying, it's not happening for a variety of reasons, shall we
yes.
say. the national aspirational aim of large-scale divestment?
No, I think, look, some divestment will happen and will continue. What we need to see is the state maybe engaging a bit more with communities and putting resources into properly engaged communities on divestment. And we also need the state really to recognise that the church can be a partner in this process, and it's not something where there's necessarily a hostile relationship or anything like it. And we're quite open to working in partnership with the state to do that. But in the meantime, where a community has decided, for instance, that a school should stay Catholic, well, then they're entitled to a Catholic school, which includes the religious education dimension. And again, I just think it is unhelpful for campaigners now, while we're still in a round of divestment conversations, to be proposing to effectively damage some essential element of the Catholic ethos in schools simply because they can't get communities to see it their way. Mm. They can't win at a community level, so they're now seeking to impose it at a national level. I don't think that's going to work. And it's not something certainly we could support. We just see it as fundamental to a holistic education that already is part of that. Yeah. And, you know, parents have a right to opt out, and there's things maybe we can do to improve how that's done. But can I just say, children opt out of loads of different subjects. We don't just have children opting out of RE. There's 17,000 children, for instance, who don't do Irish in the primary system. We have children opting out of SBHE, out of PE, out of music, whatever else, all in accordance with the parents' wishes. And schools and our very professional teachers just deal with those every single day. And I think to just talk about, you know, opting out of RE is a very peculiar thing, misses the fact that schools deal with opt-outs all the time.
So you're feeling it's not a situation of ostracization anymore, or look at that person, they're not doing religion, there must be something wrong with them, or the child themselves feeling, what's going on here? Why am I learning what the rest of my classmates are learning?
That is said. Curiously, though, none of those campaigners say that about other subjects.
Yeah.
So you don't hear them talking about, well, how does the child who isn't doing PE feel? Now, our teachers are obviously concerned for how those children feel and do their best to make sure, you know, that there's an inclusive environment and that all these things are handled with sensitivity. But it is curious that campaigners seem to feel that it's only when a child opts out of RE as opposed to any other subject that they're suddenly, you know, bothered or made to feel different or anything else. They only talk about that as it applies to RE rather than all the other subjects that children opt out of. And I'm confident the vast majority of our teachers are professional. They're driven by deep care for the pupils in their school and in their care, and they do their best. It's not always easy because of the resource issue or anything else, but I fully trust our teachers as professionals to do their job. And part of that is to ensure that all of these things are handled with great sensitivity.
Is part of the pressure, Ireland, or is any aspect of this, the falling numbers of vocations and the amount of time and personnel that a local parish will have for their school?
In what sense?
In terms of that, like helping the school being actively involved, you know, in the Catholic patronage side of it, that falling numbers, we're seeing fewer masses, fewer priests, more demands, incredible demands on priests' time as well.
Yeah. The church is much bigger than priests. Priests, obviously, and our clergy and our religious are very important parts of the church, but the church is by a vast majority lay Catholics. And we have a huge amount of lay Catholics who volunteer in and around our schools, boards of management, but we have other lay Catholics who volunteer as docent advisors who help assist schools. And part of my job now, though, is to work with partner organisations to try to figure out how to better support schools in the future and all these things. And we are developing, I suppose, new structures and services to meet that need. Our priests will still obviously play a very important part, but increasingly this will be a lay Catholic role. Yeah. Which is entirely keeping with just where the church has moved in terms of its thinking and in terms of, you know, just the importance of all of the baptized in terms of the work of the church. So the church is still involved. It just may not be a priest or religious, but that doesn't mean there's no church. Yeah.
Yeah. Will deacons be involved more?
Depends if there's a deacon nearby, but I'm certainly yes. I know some areas, some of the deacons have been fantastic working with their local schools. It's still a relatively new ministry in Ireland. I think you do have some down in Kerry.
We do. But, yeah.
You know, hopefully as those numbers expand, yes, it'd be wonderful to get their help and assistance too.
Okay. So, Alan, on that side of the campaigners or people who feel that religion shouldn't be part of the daily class, that too much time is given to it, needs to be given to other subjects like reading, writing, maths and all of those things, one of the arguments they make is that religion, if it is your choice, if you want your child educated, much more of it should happen at the home. It should happen outside of school time. Would you reject that idea? That it's being outsourced by some parents. They don't do any of it in the home and they just say the teacher will take care of all of that. My Catholic school will take care of it and I don't have to think about it.
I would say from let's say, our point of view, you cannot expect the teachers to do all of this. So it's always going to be, you're going to have family, parish and school, and schools can only do the part that they're asked to do. If families or parishes are leaving entirely to schools, I think it's unfair on the school. So certainly I think we need to develop the links, particularly between parishes and schools. And then families obviously need to take responsibility themselves for the formation of their own children. But religious education is still part, again, as I said, of the overall human dimension. So we just, you know, an education system that doesn't engage with that, I think, isn't an education system that treats with the full person.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the argument can be put forward, well, we want objective education, which is sounds great. But what exactly does that mean? Do you know, objective from which point of view? And you will have secular campaigners who seem to feel that their secular worldview is the kind of objective neutral ground. But
they may argue, look, just there's no objection. Yes, moral teaching, yes, religious education, yes, very important for spirituality, whatever the belief system is in the family, but that it needs to happen at home primarily and not so much of it in the school. That's the argument. They're not saying no religion. They're saying yes, religion, round the person out, round the child out, give them the options, give them the education, ground them in their faith, but do it at church at the weekends, in consultation with the parish, or at home.
I just disagree with that. Again, if it's part of the overall education, I mean, you can, let's say, take something like PE. If PE was left solely to schools, again, similarly, you know, a child wouldn't get a full education around that. That's why you have all the wonderful organisations like the GAA and families engaging in activities too. So that, but physical education still belongs in schools because it is, again, part of, if any education worthy of its name, it needs to address all of the human person. So PE takes place in schools, RE takes place in schools. And even in terms of kind of just say, to kind of say reading, writing is important, well, it is, but children also learn that through religion. And for instance, I know in the UK, you will have a lot of legal courses in their universities where they will look very favourably on children or pupils who have done RE as part of their exams in terms of coming out of second level there. Because they see it's grounded them in a facility working with language for understanding arguments, for understanding ideas. And RE itself, you know, it's not a narrow subject. As you do it, it is part of, again, expanding, you know, and getting you used to dealing with ideas, getting used to you dealing with language, with even, you know, in terms of it, you get art being dealt with, you get music being dealt with through it as well. So Italy as a subject also is, in a sense, developing all these other skills. So it's not some kind of discrete activity that's unconnected with the broader education. And in fact, at primary level, that's the entire point. The curriculum is an integrated curriculum. So when a teacher is doing RE, they will also be doing some of these other things as well. So, you know, it is, as I said, you know, for any child, for any person as they develop into a full adult, we would just see this and all the dimensions. We'd see physical education, intellectual, but also spiritual. If you kind of rip one of those apart and say, we'll put it over here as a discrete thing, what is that actually saying in terms of your view of what the human person is or looks like? And that's what our schools are actually tending to. They're part of a process, again, with families and with broader civic society, in forming an entire human person. And that's why RE belongs there.
Okay. All right, Alan, listen, interesting stuff. Thanks very much for taking time to talk to us about that this morning and make that argument that the state needs to do more in terms of supporting divestment where needed, but not to remove religious teaching from education and from our schoolrooms and our classrooms. That's Alan Hines-Senjek there, who is the chief executive of the Catholic Education Partnership, wrote an interesting piece in the Times recently about that. So we said we'd have him on. If you have a view on that argument, get in touch with us on the programme.